Please stand for the call to worship. How lovely is the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts.
Our souls long, indeed faint, for the courts of the Lord. Our hearts and our flesh sing for joy to the living God.
For a day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of wickedness.
Let us worship our God, for blessed is everyone who trusts in the Lord. People of God, welcome home.
Claim to be without sin, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. In that spirit of honest confession, let us come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, by water and your Holy Spirit, you baptized us to be your own. Yet we hold back the love of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, or speak the good news of your love. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform us and make strong our common witness to the one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even when our cups run dry, God's grace overflows. Even when our plates are empty, God's generosity overflows. Even when death takes a loved one, God's power overflows. And even when our hearts feel barren, God's love overflows. We have been called and claimed by the God of all things, and by the abundance of God's grace and by the power of God's love, our sins have been washed away, and we may go forward in wholeness and in peace. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this service of worship at Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church. We are glad you're here. You are here on a joyful occasion. Our choir is back and wearing their robes, and so we can recognize them. There they are. We're glad you're back in leadership again, and they were back last week as well, but not wearing the robes, so.
And you are here on a day when we are celebrating Susan Gruey, HR, and that's not HRH, it's just HR, honorably retired. We are celebrating her ministry here at Savage Memorial with the designation Pastor Emerita. So there is a luncheon, and everyone is invited. We hope you can stay and share in this joyful celebration that we are having today. A couple other things going on in the life of the church. There is fresh roast coffee available for pickup if you've ordered it here today. The session is meeting in person on Wednesday this week, 7 o'clock at the church for our first meeting of the new class year. And Christians in Conversation started back up again this week, and we'll be meeting again on Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning for our, there's a description in the bulletin. It's sometimes hard to describe, but we always have a good and uplifting time on Thursday mornings. I would invite you to write your name on the fellowship pads you'll find in the pew there and pass the pads down the pew and back up. And as you do, note the names of folks around you and greet each other by name this morning. I know you're out of practice, but you know how to do it. Are there folks that you would like to introduce this morning? There's one I would. I have a colleague here, the Reverend Jeff Sievert, also HR, is here. And he is, it's wonderful up here singing because we used to sing together quite often. He's recently retired from the Reedville Presbyterian Church in Aloha. And his wife Lori is here as well. She's a longtime friend. We're glad you're both here. And a lot of good folks here back again. We're glad to have all of you here and hope you can all stay and greet each other. Anne, is there anyone you want to introduce back there? Great, we're glad you're here. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, there are some folks we want to keep in our prayers. Jean Clausen would like prayers for her son-in-law, Scott Hollis, and daughter, Amy. Scott has had a recurrence of his cancer and is undergoing radiation and immuno-oncology transfusion therapy for that. So keep Amy and Scott in your prayers as they continue that journey of healing. And I wanted to let folks know that our former associate pastor, Leo Topfist, is concluding an honor flight to Washington, D.C. today, which recognizes his service in the Korean War. So we want to keep Leo in our prayers for safe travels and gratitude for his service. And also, we want to be with the folks in the United Kingdom as the funeral of Queen Elizabeth is marked tomorrow in London. Let's now continue with our service of worship, and we have a special recognition today. I would ask you at this point to join with me in the Litany of Emerita Recognition that is found in your bulletin. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
who forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities. Who satisfies you with good things. In her ministry at Savage Memorial, Susan Gruey served the Lord with gladness and the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, good humor, and love. In affection and gratitude, we celebrate that time and recognize her service in the body of Christ. And I don't usually make this pathway unless we're doing a baptism, but this is kind of a continuation of Susan's baptism, and I will address her back here. And I didn't test this all the way back here. Susan, you have completed your active service as a minister of the Word and Sacrament. Your sisters and brothers in the presbytery rejoice with you in the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your work. We thank God for your dedicated ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ, and we praise God for the grace that has allowed your ministry to touch many lives. The presbytery has marked with you the fulfillment of your calling, recognizing you with the status honorably retired. And now, moved by affection and gratitude, our congregation confers upon you the title Pastor Emerita. While we know you are in a time of rest and enjoyment of other callings, we value the experience you have gained and the skills you have acquired throughout your years of ministry. Therefore, we welcome your continued participation in the life of this congregation, using your gifts in meaningful, if less formal or time-consuming ways. You remain a colleague in ministry, and we will continue to seek your fellowship. Together with the whole church, may you find new opportunities to fulfill your baptismal calling as one marked by the Holy Spirit, a disciple of Jesus Christ. May God continue to bring joy and peace to your life, just as you have blessed the Presbyterian Church in Giddingsville and Kirkland, Indiana, and Magnolia, Washington, and the presbyteries of Wabash Valley and the Cascades, as well as Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church, with your ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the source of every good and perfect gift. And thank you, Susan. And now please join in the unison prayer that is also in the insert in your bulletin. Let us pray. Eternal God, through all the years of our lives, your love protects and guides us. By your Spirit, you call us to varied ministries in the service of Jesus Christ. We praise you for your gifts to your servant Susan, for her faithful proclamation of your word, her administration of the holy sacraments of Jesus Christ, and her pastoral care and leadership in the church. Grant to Susan time for reflection and rejoicing and the fullness of your peace. Through your Holy Spirit, bless each of us that we may remember the love of Jesus Christ, which unites us in the service of our Lord. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Today's gospel lesson is from Mark 6, verse 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that had been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin, and in their own house. He could do no deed of power there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them, and he was amazed at their unbelief." He then went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river.
And now let us draw near to one another as together we draw near to God in experiencing the presence and the power of corporate prayer. Let us pray.
God of peace, whose gifts of peace, love, and joy are beyond what the world can give, we thank you. You call us out of our hometowns and comfort zones to be your people, your messengers of peace and Christ's love. You give us work to do together. Hear now our prayers and infuse our work with joy. We pray for a world which is crowned with beauty and creative spirit, but which is marred by darkness and disregard. Be with the people of Ukraine, even as violence against civilians and atrocities are coming to light. Move the faithful and righteous leaders to stop this war. We pray for people plagued by wildfires and flooding, and those who continue to wage the battle against COVID. And we remember the people of Pakistan who are on the front lines of the scourge of climate change, with 33 million people displaced and one-third of their country underwater following monsoon flooding. O Lord, amid our country's gun violence and political infighting that disregards human dignity, supply us with your peace. We pray for those folks we know who are suffering today. We lift up those with chronic health conditions, those who face mental health challenges, and others who face spiritual battles with forces of darkness, those who daily combat addiction or home insecurities, those who are lonely. In light of the outpouring of sympathy in the death of Queen Elizabeth, we pray especially for all those who are mourning this day. We remember Scott and Amy and Leo and those we now name in our hearts. Be with them. Supply them with comfort and the love of family and community. Light their way in life. We pray also for ourselves, dear Lord. Be with this church in our worship and our mission. Be with our families in safety and health and happiness. And in our individual lives, O Lord, our shepherd, supply us with work to do and lead us in the joy of service in finding that place where our gifts and the world's need come together. We ask all these things in the name of Christ, Lord of our lives and head of his body, the church, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together now hymn number 172. We'll be singing all the verses of My Shepherd Will Supply My Need, hymn 172.
My Shepherd.
may be seated. The psalm lesson for today is from Psalm 26, verses 1 through 12. I won't say it happens to be, but this is one of Susan's favorite pieces of scripture. Listen as together we hear the word of God. The psalmist writes, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty, those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Would you pray with me? God, on this morning that you have given us, grant us a word for our hearts and hearts for your word. Amen. When people conclude their line of work, their service, there are many ways of marking that milestone. Here are some that I have come across. You may know that lawyers are disbarred and priests are defrocked. However, did you know that electricians are delighted? Piano tuners come unstrung, and diplomats in Asia are disoriented. Orchestra leaders are disbanded, and artists' models are deposed. Cooks are deranged, office clerks are defiled, and computer programmers are decoded. You may not know that accountants are discredited at the end of their careers, pastry chefs are deserted, and students are degraded. Maybe I shouldn't mention it, but bodybuilders are rebuffed. Underwear models are debriefed. And blackjack dealers in Las Vegas are discarded. Tree surgeons disembark at the end of their careers. And mathematicians, Kendra, mathematicians are simply discounted. My niece is a math major. This morning we have endings and beginnings, and in Mark chapter 6, the disciples are sent out by Jesus to continue the ministry which he had started. And if memory serves me correctly, this was one of the scripture passages which we shared when Susan and I were interviewing for the position here at Savage Memorial. There's something about the collaboration, the shared ministry of being sent out two by two, that is blessed by our Lord. And actually, from beginning to end, God supplies us for our varied ministries and blesses us with joy. Whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end of our lives of service, it is good to remember that. This Psalm 26, though, is a bit tricky, because it comes close to sounding like self-righteousness.
On the first reading, there might be understood a kind of works righteousness in the poetry of the psalm. Be good to me, God, because I do this. The psalmist claims innocence and makes the daring request for God to test him rather than asking for forgiveness or mercy, which is more typical in Scripture. However, when we keep reading through verse 3, we come to understand that the psalmist's confidence is not in his or her own works or his or her own innate goodness, but it is trust in God's steadfast love. Or hesed is the word in Hebrew. And I've heard that term hesed described as the love that will not let us go. There is grace in that word. God's steadfast love is incorporated in the life and person and the work of Jesus Christ. And our highest Christian integrity comes when we follow him. The statements of personal character in the psalm are not of accomplishment. Integrity is not a claim of complete and consistent perfection. Rather, the psalmist is describing the bent, the direction of the writer's life. And now there's some disagreement about whether the psalm is written because the prayer has been falsely accused, and this is a personal defense or a comeback to those accusations. But we can recognize the emotion. God only knows what I'd be without you is more than a Beach Boys lyric. It affirms the knowledge that we are dependent on God's complete knowledge of our hearts and on God's grace and forgiveness when we are tested. We may not know what we have until it is ended, yet God knows. God knows what God has in us, and God wants not only the best for us, but the best employment of us in the work in God's realm. A man who owned a modest house found a real estate agent and asked him to write up an advertisement for the place for sale. And when the advertisement was ready, the real estate agent read it to the owner. "Read that again," said the owner, and the agent read it one more time. And the man said, "You know, I don't think I will sell after all. I've been looking for a place like that all my life, and I had no idea that I already owned it." When it comes to time, God has a completely different perspective than ours. That view of longevity that comes with selective blindness and comfort or discomfort is something that God, in the timeless nature of the divine, is without. God only knows not only the truth and us, but God knows what we have and what will last. If this psalm is about someone wrongly accused, it comes right at the convergence of faith and real life, the real world. Psalm 26 focuses attention away from the everyday world and onto our covenant relationship with God. This, like many psalms, is a prayer. And through this prayer, we are confronted with the reality that we bear responsibility for our moral and religious integrity. Although anyone can pray to God, this psalm gently cautions us that trusting God is an easier exercise when one can claim integrity. A man working in the produce department of a grocery store was asked by a lady if she could buy half a head of lettuce. He replied, "Half a head? Are you serious? God grows this lettuce in whole heads, and that's how we sell them." "You mean," she persisted, "that after all the years that I have shopped here in this store, you will not sell me half a head of lettuce?" And the clerk says, "Look, if you like, I'll ask the manager." And she said, "Yes, that would be appreciated." And so the young man marched to the front of the store. "You will not believe this," he told the manager, "but there's a lame-brained idiot of a lady back there who wants to know if she can buy half a head of lettuce." And he noticed
The manager was gesturing to him, and he turned around to see the lady standing right behind him, obviously following him to the front of the store. And so he quickly continued, and this nice lady was wondering if she could buy the other half. Now, later in the day, the manager cornered the young man and said, "That was the finest example of thinking on your feet that I've ever seen. Where did you learn that?" And the clerk said, "Well, I grew up in Grand Rapids," not Marshall, "Grand Rapids. And we have to be careful, because if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that it's known for its great hockey teams and its ugly women." And the manager's face turned red, and he interrupted, "My wife is from Grand Rapids." And the clerk replied, "And which hockey team did she play for?" You'll excuse me about the women of Grand Rapids, not Marshall. I think they were wrongly accused. But what we believe and what we say, what we say and what we do, have to come together in integrity. Eric Mathis says that these texts call us to extend God's love to the faithless while simultaneously walking, sitting, and acting differently from them. The overarching truth of the Bible is that we cannot follow the ways of humanity and claim to serve God fully. However, Psalm 26 reminds us that we can follow the ways of God and serve humanity confidently, sharing moral and religious integrity. The way we are supported and encouraged in that service is through worship together in the congregation. Every Sunday in our prayer of confession, we acknowledge God's knowledge of us through and through, and yet we can still be honest in trusting God's continual, steadfast love for us, God's chesed, as we reinforce our inclination to righteousness. That's why it is so important to love God's house and to immerse ourselves in worship. Verse 8 in the psalm says, "O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell." The worship of the church, its liturgy, its sacraments, is meant to drench us in the story of God, the biblical story of creation and fall and redemption and new creation. Coming back to this grounding story week after week strengthens us to live with integrity as the baptized children of God, the people who are citizens of a kingdom that is in this world and yet not of this world. In verse 6, the psalmist talks of going around the Lord's altar, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of God's wondrous deeds. Pastors and priests may be the ones walking around the altar or communion table here, but we are all washed in our baptism. We come into God's presence with thanksgiving, and we sing aloud with praise. And there's something about singing together that distinguishes a life of worship marked by surprising joy. The surprise is in the light of the very real existence of evil within our society. Verses 9 and 10 recognize that there are sinners in the world, and they are out for blood. People have in their hands evil devices, and they are not shy about using them. Yet in the great congregation among the faithful, our feet stand on level ground. We can walk in our integrity, singing and giving thanks to God, knowing that God's love and God's power are stronger than any force in this world, stronger than even death. There are lots of material things that can bring us pleasure in this life. Just check out 10 minutes on the Home Shopping Channel. People are ready to sell mass quantities to us. Operators are standing by to take your call. There are also things that can bring us happiness, and they can include relationships with family or accomplishments or times to reflect and relax. Even a cleaned out closet can make us happy for a while. But true joy comes as a blessing from God. It is unearned and undeserved, yet God loves to bless us with that joy, and most often, it comes in selfless service. When God gives us work to do and we are able to do it, knowing God is using us and that we are a part of God's creative, healing, and loving work in the world, there is nothing quite like it. Folks like Gertie Spears and Jay Owen, whose birthday is today, and goodness knows Elaine Schaff, for over 60 years, knew that joy of service. They lived it out, and it filled their lives. God filled their lives with joy. Joy is so often not in the middle, or even in the beginning, or not in the end, and not in the beginning of a pursuit of life. It is in the middle. In the serving, walking in our integrity, and knowing that we are part of a congregation and part of something bigger going on in this world. Faith and worship remind us that joy is independent of external results or recognition. It is something the world cannot give, and yet something that gives meaning in all the world. It's said that in marking the end of professional work in the church, ministers are simply put out to pastor. Our work may not be done yet. People still interact with Susan and tell her way more about their lives in waiting rooms and clinics and lines than they ever do more with me. For each of us, that work is a little bit different. And that is why we are all still singing and still giving thanks and walking in the integrity of our faith. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you not for our accomplishments, not for our material possessions, not even for the recognition that we get. But we thank you that you accept us, you forgive us, you lead us, and call us to a place in your work. Amen. One of the COVID precautions we are holding on to is that we are not passing around the offering plates. But I would invite you, either during the offertory or at the conclusion of the service, to take advantage of the offering plates at the front on the communion table or at the back of the sanctuary as we present to Almighty God our tithes, our pledges, and our offerings.
Thank you.
offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and joyous praise. May this offering extend the work of your kingdom in this church, your community, and to the beautiful world you have made. Amen.
Go out into the world, love and serve the Lord, and claim the joy that comes with that. And to the one who, by the power at work within each of us, is able to accomplish far more than anything we could ask or even imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ our Lord, to this and every generation, now and forevermore. Amen.
Oh, That was almost the whole
thing. Oh. The blue Danube, in case it wasn't obvious.
Thank you.